561-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network in Folkston at 91.3. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and the discussion on the issue of the day. As you join in the dialogue and discussion, your conversation, communication will be heard by other listeners and would encourage them to join in the dialogue and discussion. Let me remind you, some have said down through the years, I'd like to get in my 2 cents worth. My 5 cents worth. Well, you can put in a nickel's worth, as the old cliche used to be, by dialing the number. And shortly after our monologue, the lines will be open. The telephone number is 904-831, 904-831-0917. That's your telephone call. Goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so from a central biblicist worldview. Our position and issues that we discuss each and every day, not based on some denominational dogma or political rhetoric, not based on what others may think or say, but it is based upon the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it God's truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples made this statement. If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, there's the declaratory statement made about the word of God. Thy word is truth. And Psalm 117:2, the scripture says the truth of the Lord endures forever. It doesn't change. It doesn't modulate with time. It's not bifurcated based on what the socialist Marxist media might say. It is still truth, regardless of where you find it in the Word of God. Truth is not wanted today. Truth is not sought after today. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be so valid today. I'll state that again. The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. May I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it was the statement of the former Senator Jim DeMint, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. In part, this is what he said. Headline was, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. In part, Senator DeMint said this, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our nation. End quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we've gotten to the point today. According to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials, that's 55%, of the 18 to 35-year-old age group, say that each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's only one truth. I go back to the 15th century church reformer and theologian, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And he did that very thing, by the way. When he was being burned at the stake, his last words he screamed out, "Truth shall prevail." And may I say to you, that's my challenge each and every day to our listeners, that truth might prevail. The only way truth can prevail is for Christians, conservatives, and patriots to stand for and defend truth even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your lawn care or landscape business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment with all motor brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291, Old St. Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's an identifier, a benchmark. There's a 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag, flowing 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. Base of that flagpole, you find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions, house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. They're closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, after a brief additional monologue, we're going to introduce a very special guest today. We're going to be talking about the voice for the unborn. The voice for the unborn. Ladies and gentlemen, since the Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade, the legal abortion rule, regulation, law, if you will, it appears that across America, there's been a race to the prize of becoming the state that permits abortion right up to and including the moment of delivery. Ladies and gentlemen, there seems to be a race across America in the state houses, the capitals, and in the legislative bodies of state after state after state in America that seem to want to be the abortion headquarters of the nation. There's a push to pass legislation, and in those cases where the legislators, the proponents for murder by way of abortion, know that they cannot get legislation passed to do so, there's an attempt state after state after state to pass amendments to the state's constitution to allow that. Ladies and gentlemen, in recent statewide elections, the focus for the socialist winning candidate was on the stand of broadening the abortion laws. Then in a few states that have successfully passed good restrictive laws against murder, murdering of the babies in the mother's womb, called abortion. My Bible, ladies and gentlemen, says that it's murder. In fact, in Exodus chapter 20, verse 13, thou shalt not commit murder. In fact, I've done broadcasts several times during the course of the recent years in particular, where I talked about the party, without calling a name necessarily, the political party that literally believes in denying, rejecting, eviscerating all 10 of the commandments in the scripture. And that party, I believe, is responsible for the push today across America to legalize abortion even after Roe versus Wade has been overturned in America. I'm looking at a headline article, and I'll touch on this and then introduce our guest today. This headline says, lawmakers plot course to fight abortion-free amendment. Voters in Ohio agreed this week to change the state's constitution to protect abortion. In short, it sets up an individual's right to own one's own reproductive medical treatment. According to the report from the Frontline Ohio, already 26 lawmakers have issued a statement that they plan legislation to address the move to make the state an abortion-free state. Abortion-free for all, the article reads. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know. It's an eerie feeling to believe that in society we've devolved to the barbaric position that it's something to be pushed for, it's something to be applauded, it's something to be sought after, and that is a right to commit murder. A right to commit murder. I don't think there's anything else that you could think of that's any more barbaric than that. Destroying a life, a voiceless life in the womb. So I believe that it is honorable to have organizations that will take a stand to fight against that. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that Planned Parenthood, listen carefully, let me set the stage. It's not just something that is arbitrarily and capriciously taking place. Planned Parenthood is behind the scenes. Planned Parenthood receives hundreds of millions of dollars a year from unsuspecting taxpayers in America. And it's Planned Parenthood that's pushing in our schools so that you'll have more pregnancies, thus more abortions. And it is Planned Parenthood that is profiting by the hundreds of millions of dollars for that. Ladies and gentlemen, regardless of the claims of Planned Parenthood, the ultimate goal is to kill human beings. Keep in mind, ladies and gentlemen, Margaret Sanger, the founder of Planned Parenthood, was a eugenist. The goal is still today the same, to reduce the population, to kill off part of the population. Regardless of what they say, maybe that they claim that it's a woman's right for medical care, medical health, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You can put lipstick on the pig as much as you like. It's still a fact that it's a murder machine. It's a murder organization. And ladies and gentlemen, I am concerned when we see state after state after state falling in the footsteps of the Biden administration. But listen, the Biden administration has done more today to fight for the rights of murder by way of abortion than to fight for the protection of our southern border. The Biden administration has spent more time, more effort, more money, taxpayer money, on trying to force abortion into every aspect of governmental affairs, including the federal government's hand in the educational process in America. Schools now allowing counselors for kids, encouraging pregnancy that will provide more abortions. Across America, there's a few organizations that have the voice, standing up, giving a voice for the unborn in our nation. Standing in the gap, if you will, please. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm delighted to have a special guest today on Let's Face the Issue. Andrew, I believe it's Shreville, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Andrew's the founder and director of the Florida Voice for the Unborn. Andrew, thank you so much for taking time to join us on Let's Face the Issues today. We're delighted to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on the show, Dr. Youngblood.
I'm delighted that you could take time out of your schedule to do so. Andrew, I have spoken of it very briefly, but your organization is the Florida Voice for the Unborn. And for the benefit of those that perhaps have not heard of that, perhaps for the listeners' edification, take some time and tell us about the Florida Voice for the Unborn and how you became involved.
Well, I am the founder of Florida Voice for the Unborn. We got started in January of 2020, really because I was fed up with the lack of legislative protections for our unborn brothers and sisters here in Florida. And Florida Voice for the Unborn is a statewide grassroots lobbying organization. We're based in the state capital of Tallahassee, and we are a non-denominational Christian group. Everything that we do is guided by faith in Jesus Christ. And that's right in our mission statement. And so important because nothing we do can be accomplished without God's aid. So that's why I started Florida Voice for the Unborn. And of course, 2 years later, a little bit more than 2 years later, we saw a watershed moment in the history of the United States with the U.S. Supreme Court's reversal of Roe versus Wade on June 24th, 2022. And this decision by the U.S. Supreme Court cannot be overstated because it now allows each individual state to regain its rightful constitutional authority to protect all unborn children from the moment of conception, without exception, should it choose to do so. And we've been fighting here in Florida ever since to see a complete abortion ban from the moment of conception. And, you know, that is our end goal. Right now, Dr. Youngblood, many people may not realize this, but right now, as of September 30th, 2023, this year alone in Florida, we have had over close to 65,000 unborn children killed in abortions right here in our Sunshine State. And it's very heartbreaking. And that is because our signature piece of legislation that was passed in the spring and signed into law immediately by the governor, the Heartbeat Protection Act, which prohibits abortion in Florida after 6 weeks gestation, that has not actually taken effect yet. So we are in a dire situation. Every day here in Florida, hundreds and hundreds of babies are being killed, murdered, all throughout our otherwise beautiful state.
Andrew, you're so sickly correct in what you're saying. What is the difference, though? I'm sure there are people listening. They will ask the question, well, what is so different about the Florida Voice for the Unborn that makes it different from the other organizations, pro-life organizations?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, Florida Voice for the Unborn, given our name of the organization, we focus only on securing the rights for our unborn brothers and sisters. So while other pro-life, pro-family organizations, get involved in a wide variety of issues, we feel that abortion is the human rights issue that defines really the modern world. It's an occurrence all over the world, horrible, and so we need to be focused like a laser on eradicating it, and that's what Florida Voice for the Unborn does. We are solely dedicated to protecting our unborn brothers and sisters and aiding their mothers and fathers to choose life.
The focus is, as you said, on the legislative process. When we think about the legislative process, by the way, I'm familiar with walking through the halls of the House and the Senate, working on higher educational bills in the past. I tell people, if you've been there, you know how the sausage is made, you want to stay out of the kitchen. But it's a fascinating process to understand so many things that come into play for a bill to be passed. But now, one of the things that I'm concerned about, Andrew, is when Roe versus Wade was overturned the 24th of June of 2022, how did that, for practical purposes, for legal view, how did that change the battle on abortion?
Dr. Youngblood, before Roe versus Wade was overturned, the individual states could only do so much to limit abortion within their jurisdictions. So what they did was they were passing these piecemeal laws like, parental consent. So if you want an abortion and you're a minor child, you have to get a piece of paper signed by your parent saying that it's okay. Or we're going to limit abortion, in certain circumstances in the third trimester, which is very late. And that was acceptable under Roe versus Wade, except that many of the states didn't have any prohibitions at all in the third trimester. You know, in solid blue states like New York and California, they long ago had pretty much unlimited abortion even before Roe versus Wade fell. But in states like Florida, we could do some limitations. Like we had passed in 2015 a 24-hour waiting period law. So before you obtain abortion in the state of Florida, you have to have two visits and you have to wait 24 hours before you go back in to have that abortion. Unfortunately, that bill itself was held up in the courts and didn't even take effect till just a few months before Roe versus Wade was overturned. So it took them about 7 years for that law to go into effect. And that's what we've been doing in these kind of red states. We were limiting abortion, but not really ending abortion. Once Roe versus Wade was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, states such as Texas, which I consider the gold standard, and Mississippi and Alabama, they had laws on the books that said if and when Roe versus Wade was overturned, we're going to completely prohibit abortion within our state's border from the moment of conception. And that's exactly what took place in Texas and about a dozen other conservative states. So in Texas right now, all their brick-and-mortar abortion centers are closed. I mean, that's a phenomenal...
Absolutely.
That's just phenomenal. It's absolutely phenomenal. And that's what we want to see here done in Florida.
Andrew, I'm looking at a headline. Abortion rights win big in 2023 elections again. The article goes on. Ohio voters approved a constitutional amendment that guarantees the right of abortion and other forms of reproductive health care. The outcome of Tuesday's intense off-year election was the latest blow to abortion opponents. And a handful of states with off-year election abortion access appeared to be a winning issue. Let me just pause then and ask the question. What is it, and I'm intrigued by it, saddened by it, what is it in so many states that there's the mindset that the top issue, politically speaking, the top issue on the ballot to determine a candidate is on the basis of whether that person is for murder by way of abortion? What is the what is your position? What do you see as the reason, the rationale behind that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I think we're seeing on the impact on the culture here in the United States, the after effects of having legalized abortion throughout the entire country for almost 50 years. And so we've had generations now grown up with the expectation that abortion is available. And so, you know, it cuts through every demographic. And every, even party affiliation, you name it. Abortion, unlike so many other issues, has touched pretty much every American family in some way or another. And so what we're seeing is that that's the effect of legalized abortion. It normalized it. Oh, it's just health care. It's just another procedure. Hey, I know so-and-so that got it, and so-and-so got two and three, and they're perfectly fine, and why can't this, shouldn't this continue to be legal? And so you see that grip on the culture that legalized abortion has. It's so detrimental. Before Roe versus Wade was handed down by the U.S. Supreme Court in 1973, there were actually a few ballot initiatives in certain states determining whether abortion would be legalized. And the one that to me comes to mind is in Michigan. So in 1972, the people of Michigan were tasked with deciding whether they were going to legalize abortion in their state. And they voted no. They voted no. So you fast forward now about 50 years into 2022, and in Michigan, after Roe versus Wade fell, they put it up for the people to vote to enshrine in their constitution the right to abortion. And the people overwhelmingly voted for it. And I think it was about 57% of their electorate voted for it. So the complete opposite of what you saw in 1972 before Roe versus Wade was handed down. And that, to me, clearly shows the effect of this abortion-obsessed culture and really anti-Christian culture that has encompassed all of America since 1973.
You're exactly right. You stated it so poignantly well, anti-Christian culture. Andrew, I'm concerned with not just with this, but other things that's being done constitutionally. In the state of Florida, we've amended our Constitution since 1973, I believe some 127, 128 times. I think that it ought to be much more difficult to amend the Constitution. And I find that when there are power brokers that want something accomplished that they know cannot be done through the legislative process, they use the backdoor approach, that's my term, use the backdoor approach to amend the state's constitution. Let's digress from the current issue and talk about just for a moment the mindset of the Constitution being, it's almost like Swiss cheese. Our U.S. Constitution has been amended 27 times in the total life. But since 1973, the Florida Constitution has been amended over 127 times. What's the answer to that for the ultimate protection? Not just now, because later in this discussion, we're going to talk about constitutional amendment that is perhaps going to be on the ballot November 2024. What is the answer to that? How can we stop the evisceration of our Constitution in Florida?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, I think there's two things that we could immediately get started on. One is to continue to encourage our state legislature to toughen up the requirements for citizen petition-initiated amendments to the Constitution. The legislature in Tallahassee has made it substantially tougher over the years, and particularly in the last decade, to get these radical amendments on the ballot, because most of them come from the left, let's face it. And, you know, so that's very important. There's a lot of things the legislature itself can do in terms of making it difficult for the petition gathering phase to succeed. Second thing that we can do is that, you know, each state is governed by a state constitution. But unlike the federal constitution, which has remained in place, you know, as you said, altered about 27 times over the years, our state constitutions actually change whole cloth. So in Florida, our latest incarnation of our constitution came about in 1968. And what we can do is that we could call for a state constitutional convention and rewrite the portions of the constitution that are bad, and in particular the portions in the state constitution that allow it to be amended so many ways. If we could take a lot of that out, we'd be much better off, because ultimately the legislature and the governor are who are elected to make public policy. The people cannot vote on every single issue that could possibly come up in the public policy sphere. Otherwise, what's the point of having a legislature and executive branch? So we could do that both ways, lobbying our legislature to toughen up the requirements for petition gathering, and as a long-term solution, maybe even getting a new constitutional convention and completely rewriting the Florida Constitution so that it's very difficult to amend in the future.
That's a wise idea. And I believe that we need to consider that as conservatives, as patriots, as Christians in particular, if we want to stop the evisceration of our Constitution. Andrew, I've got a question. We're about to hit our hard break for the top of the hour news, but I want to ask a question, and you can start on that before our break. Has the Heartbeat Protection Act that prohibits most abortions after 6 weeks in Florida, how did this legislation come about, and what was Florida Voice to the Unborn's role in that?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, it was passed through both houses of the legislature this year in the spring. The Heartbeat Protection Act was signed immediately into law by the governor. However, it has not taken effect yet, and it will not take effect unless and until the Florida Supreme Court rules on a separate constitutional challenge to the 15-week abortion ban, which was passed by the legislature in 2022.
Andrew, hold your thought right there for a moment. Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist